Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 19th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for how much you have taught us in the past. And we look forward with anticipation to all that you have for us. We recognize our need of understanding. And we know that you will do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is increase of knowledge. And we are looking still in the book Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. First question. According to the words of the angel Daniel, when might the world look for an increase of knowledge? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Notice that the prophecies of Daniel were not to be shut up till the end, for then there would be no time either to develop knowledge or to use the knowledge thus acquired, but until the time of the end, which refers to a short period just preceding the end. During this time, there was to be a wonderful increase of knowledge, especially were the prophecies of the book of Daniel to be unsealed and studied and understood at this time. Question: until what time were the saints to be persecuted under the Roman power? Daniel 11 and verse 38 says, "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." So they were going to be persecuted in order to be tried, and tested, and purged. Alright? Notice that the time of the end, as shown by this text, was even then in the days of Daniel, an appointed time in the mind of God. This is not strange when we learn that in the scriptures, both the judgment and the end itself are said to be appointed times. And you'll find that reference in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, or Daniel chapter 8 and verse 19. The close of the period allotted for this persecution was to mark the beginning of the time of the end, and that would be about 1798. Question: according to the prophecy, how long was the power represented by the little horn or papal Rome to persecute the saints? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." Now, as shown in the reading of the book, The Kingdom and Work of Antichrist, on page 218, this expression, "a time and times and the dividing of times," represents 1,260 years, which extend from the period 538 AD to the time of the decree of Emperor Justinian, all the way through to 1798. All right. This then locates the beginning of the time of the end in 1798. Up to that point in the book of Daniel as a whole was to be closed up. In other words, not understood by the people. But when the power that had placed the embargo on the word of God and had tried to shut it away from the people was broken in 1798, then light of all kinds, biblical, scientific, inventive, and industrial, began to shine and penetrate in every direction. It is a singular and striking fact that immediately following the overthrow of the papal power in 1798, Bible societies, tract societies, and Sunday societies were organized. The British and Foreign Bible Society in 1804, the American Bible Society Society in 1816, and the American Tract Society in 1825. All of these came together to study the Word of God. The Bible has now been translated into about 4,050 languages and dialects and sent to every part of the globe. Before that time, access to the Bible was confined to comparatively few. Now, the humblest person may possess it, and it is as free to read and study as it is the most exalted in the land. A little more than 100 years ago, there was not a Sunday school in the world, the first one being organized by Robert Rackies of Gloucester, England, in 1784. Now there are more than 285 such schools, with over 28 million officers, teachers, and pupils. Question. What may be said of the developments of the line of scientific inventions since 1798? These have been remarkable. Phenomenal inventions have been accomplished, and it has been without parallel in the history of the world. The people of a century and a quarter ago knew nothing of steamships, steam and electric railways, telegraphs, telephones, photographs, phonographs, sewing machines, anesthesia, submarine cables, linotypes, monotypes, motion pictures, x-rays, airplanes, or wireless telegraph. Were they to be raised from the dead, they would be as much astonished at all these things as would the people of 4,000 years ago. The great facts of the 19th century stand out so conspicuously above the achievements of any preceding century that it would be affectation of humility and to recognize and speak of them. The most striking characteristics of our times is the rapid strides with which the world is making in science, general intelligence, and inventions, as learning has definitely increased. Never was there such activity of invention within the history of mankind as at the present day. More has been done, richer and more prolific discoveries have been made, grander achievements have been realized in the course of the 50 years of our lifetime than in all the previous lifetime of the race. And there's a list that I have here of some of the things that have been invented, and I'll probably read a few of them for you. These are all of the things that have been invented since 1798. The balloon, gas for lighting purposes, cast iron plows, steel pens, steamboats in 1807, steam printing presses in 1811, a revolver, you know, the gun, 1818, railroad cars in 1825, reaper and mowers for the land, 1833, electric telegraphs in 1837, electrotyping, 1837, photography, 1839, sewing machines, 1848, anesthesia by ether, 1846, anesthesia by chloroform, 1847, submarine cables, 1851, Gatling guns, 1861, monitoring warships in 1862, the typewriter in 1868, automatic air brake in 1872, the telephone in 1876, the phonograph in 1877, the electric railway in 1879, the modern seismograph in 1880, the steam turbine in 1888, the wireless telegraph in 1895, motion pictures in 1895, monotype in 1896, radium in 1902, and the airplane, first successful flying in December 17, 1903. Now, I'm sure you've heard that list perhaps before, But isn't it a tremendous increase in knowledge? It will be noticed that none of these inventions antedate 1798. Go back a little over the century, and we find the world about where it was in the days of the patriarchs. For thousands of years, there seemed to be scarcely any advancement or improvement in knowledge. But suddenly, with the opening of the 19th century, the world awoke from its long sleep, and a new era dawned. The time of the end, when knowledge was indeed to be increased. Question. What did the Savior say should precede the end? Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Luther, the Wesleys, and others could not in their day proclaim the Lord's coming to be at hand, as the signs heralded this event had not taken place. But now, the sun and moon have been darkened, and the stars have fallen, as predicted by the Savior's knowledge has most wonderfully increased, as stated by the angel to Daniel, and the gospel has gone to nearly every kindred, tribe, and people in the world. Therefore, we may know that the end is indeed near. When we see all these things, what are we to know? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33 says, "When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." This is a powerful time in which we live. And the list of inventions that I read for you just now are just a part of all that we see around us today. Beyond those dates that we read, there are tremendous advancements in science and in knowledge and in all kinds of invention. And men are able and capable of doing many things, more things today as life proceeds. Now notice what has happened here. God has told us in advance that as we see the world around us expanding in wisdom and understanding, that there will be an indication, this will be an indication of the soon return of our Lord and Savior. Now we can sit back and be very appreciative of all of the inventions that have been made, but the most important thing here is that we use this as a sign for us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to examine ourselves. We need to ask God to look within us and tell us those things that are wrong with us so that we might have them transformed. We need to be upgraded to the Word of God and follow Him closely in every detail. We need to make sure that we are not wasting our time, for God has given us a privilege. The privilege of studying His Word, the privilege of telling us in advance all the things that are happening around us, the privilege of letting us know in advance exactly how this entire situation will play out. And you and I must indeed show our gratitude to Him by allowing our lives to be prepared for the time to come. Not too much time is left, but we must use the time that we have wisely. Quite often we become very involved in everything else around us. We want to plan our financial life. We want to plan our educational systems. We want to get into schools and learn all kinds of professions. And then by the time we do that, we spend so much time in our professional life that we underestimate and ignore our spiritual lives. We become busy, and we consider our busyness to be essential and without any kinds of concern. We pursue our daily work and do this consistently and entirely abandon the spiritual growth that needs to be accomplished. Today, perhaps we need to pause. Take a look at the things that we are doing. Try to find out whether they are the most important things in our lives, or whether or not we need to spend some more time with God's word. Whether or not we should indeed not just increase our scientific and inventive knowledge, but we need to increase our knowledge of God's word. A clear understanding of what he has in mind when he says what he does. So that as we walk, we will be able to interpret those things that he wants us to do. And we will be able to put in place the kinds of decisions that he would have us make. Too often we abandon the spiritual for the secular, for the professional, not recognizing that without the spiritual, our secular and professional lives at best are temporary. So God is calling you today, calling you to spend some time with him, calling you to spend some time in the closet with him, talking to him on a personal level. Yes, you worship with your children and your wife and your family, but there must be private moments, private time spent talking to God alone, so that he might understand that you are in a place where you want to be his child and you want to be led by him. We look around us and we see too frequently those who attend the church. But our attention to church has nothing to do with our lifestyle. It is just about when we go and where we go. Today, let us pause again and ask God if we are indeed worshiping, if our hearts are turned to him, if we are allowing him to guide us in our decision making and in the choices that we are making. Let us pause for a minute and ask him for that kind of information. And I can assure you, he will respond to that question. He will point a way to you that you need to follow. And then God will give you the strength and the faith and the endurance to accomplish the task ahead of you. So today, why not step aside for a moment? Allow the power from heaven to guide your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your decision making and your choices. And make sure that as you walk according to his will. You allow him to be the guide in your life. It is too frequently the case where we do not spend enough time with God. And I would plead with you today that as we look around us and we are impressed with the increase in knowledge that has occurred in this earth, and the scientific stuff that we have within our hands and in our bags and in our homes and in our cars and in every aspect of our lives, let us also update and upgrade our knowledge of God's word. Not just from an intellectual standpoint, but knowledge of his word from an instructive standpoint, so that we might be obedient to the things that he would have us do and follow him closely. Today we're going to pray and ask God for the strength that is necessary. We're going to ask him to give us all that we need so that we might be transformed according to his will. And I want you to bow with me as we do that. I don't know where you are at the moment, but I do know that you need a moment with the Lord today. Why don't you bow with us as we pray? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the instruction that you continually give to us every day. We thank you for the opportunities that you have opened up in our lives, that we can walk according to your will and talk according to your will and be obedient to your cause. We have an understanding of the truth. We have been privileged to be given that. But too frequently, it is simply an intellectual understanding and not a translation into character. Today, this is what we need. We need a translation into our character. We need to obey you according to your will. We need to understand what it is you need us to do, what you need us to change, how you need us to act, how you need us to speak, so that we might reflect you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 19th, 2021.